Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 56 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Help the coal businesses as well as the communities we serve.
The Kentucky Public Service Commission approved a request to renew a coal program this week.
The Greenup County Company has secured a contract with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security.
A bill in Kentucky could criminalize abortions.
Officials are investigating threats to area schools.
A man in Floyd County has been arrested for alleged crimes against children.
In sports, Round County boys tip off with Fairview at home tonight.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
And a 40% chance of rain tonight with a low around 42 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
The Kentucky Public Service Commission approved a request to renew a Kentucky Power coal program Tuesday that helps struggling coal businesses reopen and put miners back to work in eastern Kentucky. The order extends the Kentucky Power's Coal Plus program through 2019. It was first approved in 2017. Allison Barker is Kentucky Power Cooperative Communications Manager. She says eastern Kentucky businesses can benefit from the Coal Plus program.
Under this program, we can offer coal businesses some flexibility. So, for example, a coal company might sign up for a interruptible rate, and so they will pay a lower rate depending on the time of day, and so that can lower their electricity costs.
Kentucky Power provides service to around 168,000 customers in 20 eastern Kentucky counties.
A federal utility board has voted to close a coal-fired power plant in Kentucky over the objections of President Donald Trump and state GOP leaders. WMKY's Haley Stidham has more.
The Tennessee Valley authorities voted Tuesday to retire the remaining coal-fired unit at its Paradise Fossil plant in Muhlenberg County, Kentucky, by December 2020. According to WSAZ, the decision is putting more than 130 people out of work. The coal the TVA buys from nearby mines supports 135 local jobs. Trump tweeted his support for the plant on Monday after GOP leaders, including Republican Governor Matt Bevin, urged the board to delay its vote. TVA officials say costs to its more than 10 million customers will be $320 million less if they close the plant. For WMKY News, I'm Haley Stidham.
A Greenup County business has secured a contract with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Dropbox Incorporated has entered a $2.1 million contract with the DHS Countering Weapons of Mass Destruction Office, creating up to 30 full-time jobs. According to the Daily Independent, the company is actively hiring welders and carpenters for the project, with more employees being brought on as needed. It is estimated that work will begin on the project by the end of the month. Officials estimate that once in full production, around 130 to 140 employees in total will be employed at Dropbox.
Young Kentuckians are asking legislators to make children a priority during the 2019 legislative session. Thriving communities, strong families, and successful kids are the key elements of the blueprint for Kentucky's children that were highlighted during Children's Advocacy Day at the Capitol. Jessie Wittish is with Kentucky Youth Advocates. She says kids need to feel confident that they can help shape policies that impact their lives.
It's really a two-way street, and providing as many opportunities as possible to do that is vital, not only for the young people to feel empowered, but also for the success of these policies that affect them.
Advocacy Day also celebrates those who have promoted issues important to Kentucky kids.
Kentucky's Democratic Secretary of State would be stripped of her power over the State Board of Elections under a new bill sponsored by a leading Senate Republican. WUKY's Josh James has details.
Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes has faced allegations of improper use of voter data and has clashed with members of the State Board of Elections. Now, armed with a Herald Leader ProPublica report suggesting she's obtained, quote, unprecedented control over the board, Senate Republican leader Damon Thayer says it's time for the legislature to act.
Because I believe the news that has come out recently is disturbing And we need to send a message to the voters of this Commonwealth as we approach the May primary that this state, under the leadership of the General Assembly, is doing everything it can to protect the integrity of the voter rolls.
Under Senate Bill 34, the secretary would have her access to the rolls blocked and be reduced to a non-voting member of the board. The bill moved through committee Wednesday and now heads to the full Senate. WUKY did not receive a statement from the secretary's office in time for broadcast. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
A bill from Kentucky lawmakers could automatically criminalize most abortions if the U.S. Supreme Court walks back the Roe v. Wade decision. The bill would make abortion a Class D felony, which could be punishable by 1 to 5 years in prison. Tamara Weider with Planned Parenthood says the bill represents a giant step back, and she worries it could lead to worsening health outcomes and even deaths if women seek unsafe abortions.
I think it's really interesting that Representative Fisher dictated that he wanted to go back to law from 1910. This is going to take Kentuckians back to a time when reproductive health care was practically non-existent.
HB 148 is part of a series of anti-abortion bills under consideration this session.
In considering one of those proposed bills, state lawmakers heard an unborn baby's heartbeat before a Senate committee today, before sending an anti-abortion bill to the full House. April Lanham is a constituent of the bill's sponsor. She said she came forward because her unborn baby's heartbeat would be a, quote, powerful noise for lawmakers to hear before the vote. Kentucky is among several states with pending bills to ban most abortions as soon as a fetal heartbeat is detected. The bill now heads to the full House for consideration.
The chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee is pleased with the tentative budget deal working to avoid yet another partial government shutdown. The tentative deal provides far less money for border security than Trump has demanded. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the bipartisan deal is not perfect.
It's not everything the president hoped to get, but I think it's a good step in the right direction. I hope he'll decide to sign it.
President Donald Trump said he is not happy about the budget deal, but did not threaten to veto it.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from your Valentine's Day headquarters at the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, where candy makers are busy preparing Valentine's Day chocolates for everyone on your Valentine list. Heart boxes packed with chocolates and heart tins of pulled cream candy make perfect gifts. The factory store is at 550 North Maysville Road in Mount Sterling or 213 Walton Avenue in Lexington. A Kentucky tradition, chocolate-covered long-stemmed strawberries and grapes available February 11th through the 14th. Online orders at ruthhuntcandy.com.
Classes were canceled at Johnson County schools today. Superintendent Tom Cochran announced via Facebook that the cancellation is to allow authorities to continue investigations into school threats. A graffiti threat was found earlier this week, which officials say was determined not to be credible. Cochran says they're working with local and state authorities to ensure the safety of Johnson County students. Meanwhile, additional security has been put in place at Prestonsburg High School and James D. Adams Middle School in Floyd County today. According to Superintendent Danny Adkins, all Floyd County schools will remain on a regular schedule.
Two people are facing charges after a man was killed in Montgomery County Wednesday. Officials say 25-year-old Quincy Johnson jumped out of a car following an argument with the car's occupants. According to LEX 18, 21-year-old Alyssa Spellings didn't stop before Johnson was run over by a vehicle going the opposite direction. He was pronounced dead at UK Hospital. Investigators say Spellings and her passenger, 32-year-old Kenneth Marklin, are both charged with leaving the scene of an accident. The sheriff says Spellings came back shortly after she heard Johnson had died.
The Madison County Coroner's Office is investigating a death after a man's body was found near Lake Reba. According to WKYT, the coroner identified the man as 39-year-old Sinclair Johnson of Richmond. The Kentucky State Police say Johnson was a suspect in a theft case. Richmond police engaged in a pursuit with him, but Johnson wrecked his car and ran away. Officers and canine units couldn't find him, but police were able to locate his body this morning. Investigators say the cause of death is still unknown. An autopsy is scheduled for Friday.
A grand jury has indicted a driver accused of being under the influence in a deadly crash that killed a Louisville Police Department detective on Christmas Eve. WKYT reports 60-year-old Roger Burdett was indicted on one count of murder in the death of 32-year-old detective Deidre Mingdote. Burdett was also indicted on four counts of wanton endangerment, one count of DUI, and one count of failure to give right-of-way to a stopped emergency vehicle. Burdett is accused of being on prescription pills when crashing his vehicle into Mingdote's vehicle on Interstate 64. The suspect was an employee with the Louisville Metropolitan Sewer District and was driving one of the district's vehicles when he crashed. Police say Burdett failed field sobriety tests and told police about his pill usage.
A Richmond man is behind bars after officers say they received an anonymous note along with a memory card containing child pornography. According to WKYT, the memory card contained 785 images and videos showing child pornography, and the note stated Gary Travis Kearns took these pictures. Kearns would admit to officers that he was responsible for the material on the SD card, but he said he received it from internet websites. Police will analyze the seized electronics to see if any more charges need to be filed. Kearns is currently lodged in the Madison County Detention Center. No bond has been set.
A Floyd County man was arrested Wednesday after an undercover internet crime against children investigation. According to WYMT, the Kentucky State Police Electronic Crime Branch arrested 28-year-old William Randolph for talking to a minor online to engage in sexual activities. Randolph is currently charged with one count of prohibited use of an electronic communication system to procure a minor. The charge is a Class D felony that could result in up to 5 years in prison. Randolph has been lodged in the Floyd County Detention Center.
Former West Virginia State Supreme Court Justice Alan Lawfrey was sentenced to 24 months in federal prison Wednesday afternoon. The former judge was convicted last October on 11 criminal counts in connection with finances involving the state Supreme Court and Lawfrey's personal use of state property. U.S. Attorney Mike Stewart tells WSAZ public corruption will not be tolerated.
These were all serious charges, but you know, this U.S. attorney views the idea of lying to a federal agent particularly bad, witness tampering, and particularly egregious.
U.S. District Judge John Copenhaver presided over the sentencing in U.S. District Court in Charleston. Lawfrey will also have to pay $12,300 in fines and restitution and spend 3 years on supervised probation.
Scammers are now using people's emotions against them to scam them out of their money. WMKY's Tanny Wallingford has the story.
Valentine's Day brings a surge of people looking for a love connection to dating sites. The Better Business Bureau issued a warning this week that some people on dating sites are fraudsters who use romance to scam people out of their money and even turn them into unwitting accomplices of fraud. Victims of these scams reported losses of up to $3,000 this year. Attorney General Bashir reported one of the victims lost more than $12,000. According to the new BBB report, cybersecurity experts have traced the bulk of online romance scams to Nigeria. Suspicious accounts should be reported to the BBB. For WMKY News, I'm Tandy Wallingford.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast, tonight a 40% chance of rain, cloudy skies, and a low around 42 degrees. Tomorrow, a 40% chance of rain, mainly afternoon, with mostly cloudy skies and a temperature around 42. Tomorrow night, rain and snow likely, becoming all snow after 2 a.m., cloudy skies with a low around 29. On Saturday, a chance of snow and freezing rain before 9 a.m., cloudy skies then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 40 degrees. Taking a look at the temperatures in the area, Fleming County, it is 55 degrees. In Maysville, it is 55 degrees. 57 degrees in Ashland, 59 degrees in Inez, 57 in Lexington, and right here in Moorhead, 56 degrees.
On our feature segment today, Moorhead State Baseball comes into the 2019 season with big expectations. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
Defending Ohio Valley Conference champion Moorhead State comes into the 2019 season as the preseason favorites to win back-to-back titles. The veteran club also has four players named to the preseason All-OVC team. Head coach Mike McGuire says the expectations of being favored to repeat won't weigh heavy on his ball club.
To me, it's not really any pressure. I get some gratification out of it because, you know, 6 years ago when I took over this program, we were an afterthought in the league. And now, you know, we're picked to win the league, and it shows that, you know, we've earned the respect of our peers in the league.
The recognition comes not just from the well of talent MSU has on its roster, but also from the deep playoff experience the team has had in recent seasons.
You know, in the last 4 years, we've either won our tournament at the end of the year and gone to a regional, or the years we didn't, the eventual champion had to knock us out of the tournament. So, you know, when you do that, you know, we're there. We've been there at the end. I think the other coaches in our league respect that. I think they respect that we have good players.
McGuire touts that experience as the biggest strength of his team coming into the year. He hopes it will carry the Eagles to another big postseason run in 2019.
We're a veteran club. I've got 17 guys back that went to the regional last year. And so, you know, that's great experience. It was great for our program. Our guys got to taste that. We want to get back to a regional. We want to do a little damage there. And so, you know, having that experience back is huge, you know, to start the year.
Depth on the pitching staff is something McGuire says will have a big impact on the season, especially with two big names making their return from injury this year.
We returned about 80% of our innings pitched last year, and a lot of those guys were pitched very meaningful innings in postseason play and conference tournament and a regional. And then add to that, you know, the healthy return of Alex Garbrick and Jason Goh, who both missed last year due to injury. I really like our staff, and I think we stay healthy, we can really have a good year.
The Eagles have a tough non-conference schedule again this season. McGuire says playing strong competition from larger schools pays big dividends throughout the year.
We want to play a good schedule. You know, the Kentucky, Louisville, Tennessee games are games that we traditionally play and I think are good barometers for us to gauge ourselves as well as prepare us for postseason play, a regional-type atmosphere when you go on the road and play those people.
Though most of the tough out-of-conference games are on the road, the Eagles have managed to secure a home series against a top baseball program this year.
We've got West Virginia, a series at home, which is really big. We, you know, have a hard time sometimes getting home games and getting a program, you know, as quality as West Virginia here for two games is great. It's a great opportunity for us to play against a top 50 program at home.
The Eagles may be picked to win the OVC again, but McGuire knows that nothing is set in stone, and his team will have to perform well throughout the year if they want to have a successful 2019 campaign.
The predictions don't really mean a whole lot. We got to go out and play baseball. We know that. We internally have felt like we were the best team in the league going into each of the last 4 years. So regardless of where the coaches pick us, it really doesn't matter. We like our talent. We like our club. We're capable of having a great year, but we know that we got to get better. We got to stay healthy. All those little things that, can derail a season are really important.
The Eagles begin their season on the road when they head to Greenville, South Carolina on Friday to open a 3-game series against Furman. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
It's 449 and 56 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Kenzie Thompson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this Thursday afternoon. Brian Courtney has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
Hello and good day to you. This is the WMKY Sports Report. I'm Brian Courtney reporting. The Vikings host their final home game of the season tonight with Fairview. Rowan is 22-4 on the season, but two of those losses were just last week to East Carter and Morgan County. The Eagles are 10-18 on their season, coming off a win Tuesday night at home. Rowan coach Sean Thacker says this late in the season, his team is focusing on their own game.
Probably more attention will be paid to us than them. There'll be certain things that they'll do that'll go ahead and guide us that we need to work on. You know, it'll get us ready for them, but it'll also get us ready for the postseason.
Tip-off tonight in Moorhead is set for 7:30 p.m. Taking a look at some other games scheduled for 16th Region action tonight, East Carter's girls host Ashland Blazer. The Kittens are 17-9 going into tonight's matchup, while the Lady Raiders stand at 13-12. A struggling Greenup County team hosts Mason. The Lady Royales are 14-12 on their season. And Morgan County travels to Lee County. In boys regional action tonight, Elliott County hosts Ashland Blazer. The Lions stand at 21-3 on the season and are favored to win the 16th region. The Tomcats stand at 13-13 on their season, coming off a win over West Carter at home on Tuesday. The 11-8 Bath County hosts the 18-9 Lewis County Lions, and East Carter heads to Boyd County. The Raiders are 11-13, while Boyd stands at 20-9. Tip-off in all of those games is set for 7:30 p.m. Rowan County Senior High School girls basketball team is gearing up for a game against Boyd County tomorrow night. The Lady Vikings hit the gym today, preparing for the last game of the regular season. Head coach Matt Stokes says his team won't show their hand during the matchup.
We won't show everything because we think we might play them in a regional tournament. You know, you don't want to give away everything you've got, and then they're prepared for it for region. So we'll try to throw out some little junk defenses Friday night just to see if they'll work. You know, if they don't work, they don't work. But if they do, then we know we got some stuff going in the region that we can really focus on.
The Lady Vikings tip off at Boyd County on Friday night at 7:30 p.m. The schedule for the 63rd District Tournament has been decided. WMKY's Wyatt Melton has the story.
Lewis County plays host to this year's district tournament. The girls of Greenup face off with Russell to open play on Monday, February 18th at 6 p.m. Lewis County and Raceland face off in Monday's nightcap at 7:30. The winners of the Monday night games will advance to the championship game at 7 p.m. on Thursday. Boys district action kicks off on Tuesday night. Lewis County and Greenup will face off at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, Russell plays Raceland also at 7 p.m. The winners will meet on Friday night at 7. In both the girls and boys tournaments, the winner and runner-up will advance to the 16th regional tournament in Moorhead. For WMKY Sports, I'm Wyatt Melton.
The Moorhead State women's basketball team returns to the hardwood this afternoon as they host Ohio Valley Conference foe Austin Peay. The Eagles, who have won 8 of their last 10 games, enter the matchup with a record of 18-7 and 9-3 in OVC play. Austin Peay currently sits at 11-12 overall and 6-6 against the league. Head coach Greg Todd says the Governors erased a 7-point deficit over the final minutes of the January 5th matchup to defeat Moorhead State 81-80 at the Dunn Center.
We lost to them in a tough game, and we know we've got to play well to get a win tonight. And you know, we're having a good season and looking forward to getting these last 3 weeks in and trying to win some more games and get a good seed into the Ohio Valley Tournament.
Tip-off at Johnson Arena is set for 5:05 p.m. You can watch the game on ESPN Plus or listen on WIVY. It's rivalry week, and the Moorhead State's men basketball team is ready for a showdown with Bluegrass State rival Eastern Kentucky University at home this evening. The Eagles are currently sitting at 5-7 in conference, while the Colonels sit at 4-8. However, head coach Preston Spradlin says in the OVC, records don't mean much.
There's no gimmies, and there's nothing that is guaranteed, and despite what the records may say or the scores, you can't play either of those, and you've got to line them up, and you got to play, and you got to play well, whether you're at home or you're on the road, because none of those are easy.
Tip-off at Johnson Arena is set for 7:35. And finally, a bill legalizing sports betting in Kentucky made its first appearance in committee Wednesday. WUKY's Josh James reports.
Talk about a bipartisan wagering bill began shortly after the U.S. Supreme Court opened the door to sports betting in most states in 2018. Wednesday, lawmakers debuted House Bill 175, suggesting that it could generate $20 million annually for the state.
all these things, let's not kid ourselves, are already happening a lot in Kentucky. And what this does is it just says, you know, that's not going to be a criminal violation in Kentucky.
Republican Representative Jason Nemes, a co-sponsor, says he's hopeful the bill, which stopped short of receiving a vote in committee, will eventually clear the General Assembly. Governor Matt Bevin has sounded cool on the idea that wagering could seriously impact the budget. Detractors worry it could violate the state constitution and lead to legal wagering on non-sports-related events. Revenues from HB 175 would go toward pensions, addiction treatment, and regulation costs. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
And that'll be all for your check of sports this evening. For WMKY News, I'm Brian Courtney reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball hosts Austin Peay tonight at 5:05 p.m., and men's basketball faces Eastern Kentucky at 7:35 p.m. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500 and Dow Industrials both closed lower following the release of much weaker-than-expected retail sales data, and the Dow did drop 103.88 at 25,439.39. The S&P 500 was down 7.3 at 2745.73. The NASDAQ managed a small gain of 6.58, finishing out at 7426.96. Retail sales fell 1.2% in December, marking their biggest monthly drop since September 2009. The department also said retail sales fell 0.9% in December when excluding gasoline station sales. Treasury yields fell on this week's data, with the benchmark 10-year rate trading around 2.66%, which was a drop of 3 basis points. The U.S. dollar also fell against major currencies. The euro rose 0.3% against the dollar, while the yen gained 0.2%. Lel Brainard, a Federal Reserve governor, said in an earlier interview that downside risks to the economy have definitely increased. And in the commodities markets, oil was up 1.125% at $54.51 a barrel. Gold was up 50 cents at $1,315.60 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down, but not tremendously, with the Stock 600 index finishing down 0.33%. And in Asia, stocks again were down, but not by very much, with the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.25%. And in Japan, the Nikkei average was down less than 0.1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Cisco and McDonald's. The worst performers were Coca-Cola and 3M. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Marathon Oil and Equinix, and the worst performers were CenturyLink and AIG. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Valvoline up 13 cents at 1906, Delta Airlines up 8 cents at 5049, Community Trust Bank down 40 cents at 4137, Marathon Petroleum up 38 cents at 6403, Anthem up 248 at $308.18, and Dollar General was down 41 cents to finish at 118.49. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Taking one more look at the weather, a 40% chance of rain tonight, cloudy skies with a low around 42, and tomorrow, 40% chance of rain, cloudy skies with a high of 42.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Haley Stidham, Grant Johnson, Sarah Fishipe, Wyatt Melton, Naya Andweza, Cassidy Stearman, Nacogdoches Miller, Shaw Marie Mosley, Tanny Wallingford, Logan Pemberton, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment this afternoon came from WMKY's own Joe Lewis. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.